This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
An Odyssey Sports Station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. Ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I know.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say
you better run. Yeah, I think the love's great.
Everybody, happy Tuesday. Today on the radio show, we got Chris Hammond straight up 10 o'clock. And then Fish on Friday on Tuesday.
And so that is the lineup. Always fun to have Chris and Fishman. Busy second hour. First hour, we are busy because the sports world was unaccountably hectic yesterday.
Sports were good last night.
How about that? Yeah, but really, all day long, we had news, and then we had two wild games last night. So
and we had some wild hockey.
Some wild hockey as well. Plus the Buffalo Sabres, I know you're most interested.
I saw that you're bringing it back.
Have a new coach, so there you go.
A new old coach, right?
A new old coach. Anyway, it is Tuesday, and and the University of Memphis needs an athletic director.
Indeed.
As Laird Veach is headed back to Missouri. And good for Laird. He wanted that job last time around.
Yep.
Last time it was open. And it had certainly been reported that he was interviewing and high on their list this time around. And it so happened that last week we had the news about the NIL deal with FedEx. Then we had a spring game where Laird was firing up the crowd, and then on Monday we learn he is departing for Missouri. So two things I think we have to ask ourselves, but we got some Memphis Tiger basketball recruiting news as well, Ja news, lots of things to get to. But the two questions that I would ask, Jeffrey.
Number one.
Well, how damaging is this for the University of Memphis? The questions that we should ask are, one, what sort of job did Laird do?
Yep.
Two, how damaging is this to the University of Memphis? And three, who's next?
Right? Yes, absolutely.
So let's take them in order.
Okay.
What sort of job did Laird do? Hired in 2019.
So I said in the moment yesterday, my instant reaction is Laird is more impressive on paper than probably the sentiment around, is this guy doing a good job? I think, like, when you lay out on paper the accomplishments, I think they're pretty impressive. We've not really, I mean, how long, my entire life I've been hearing about trying to do either something to the stadium, getting a new stadium, whatnot.
Yep.
That gets done. They survive the IRP.
Yep.
In fact, I think you'd even say they win against in the IRP.
Yep.
Football looked like it was staggering, and it feels like football's back on track. Granted, he didn't also hire Penny Hardaway, but at the same time, basketball has a setback last year, but it doesn't feel like basketball's that far back from at least being a tournament team. So when you look at kind of the big things that you're judged against, I'd say it's all in pretty good shape. What makes this entire process difficult is, well, how much credit does an athletic director deserve for that? But in the end, that's what he's judged
on. Interesting is, and this is true when you're looking at the work that Laird did here, but also then when you're evaluating possible candidates going forward, when we look at a football coach, we see it.
Yeah,
it's,
wins
it's
and
there
losses.
On the field, right? It's there on
results.
The field. And it's W's and L's, but we can literally watch the work, their work. We can see it play out, right? With an athletic director, particularly an assistant athletic director, if you're thinking about candidates, for example, for this next job, how in God's name are we supposed to know? Like, we all thought that Ren Baker was an impressive guy, right, when he was an assistant AD here. Ren Baker, by the way, I see no circumstances under which he would want to leave West Virginia for Memphis. But we always thought he was an impressive guy, and so I sort of knew him and thought he would do a good job and whatever. But it's awfully, you know, you look afar at some of the names that you'll see thrown out there, that have been thrown out there, that will be thrown out there. Who really knows if pick your name. Alan Green,
yep.
Or Jeff Crane, or Adam Walker, or Ryan Alpert, who really knows how effective they are in their jobs. So it's very hard to evaluate. And it's also, I think you're right, hard to evaluate Laird himself.
Right.
He did not have an easy job. This is not an easy job. And by the way, he was the AD during the pandemic.
Yes.
You know, on top of everything that you just said, he steered the university through the pandemic. I thought, generally speaking...
Oh, and a leadership change.
And a presidential change.
Yeah.
And a presidential change. Absolutely. I thought, generally speaking, he professionalized the department. I think they operate, even things like that could tick people off and did, like going from paper tickets to digital tickets. You know what I mean? He is a very competent professional guy who assembled a professional staff and in addition made baseball hires so successfully, immediately lost his baseball coach.
Women's
basketball hire so successful. I think the success over there was more broadly spread. It wasn't just like he really did care about, I mean, the tennis program, you know. Now, again, how much credit are you going to give him for the new tennis facility? But he was certainly involved in this.
Thank you, Fred.
So a lot of things, there were a lot of moving pieces during his tenure here. And I think he negotiated them admirably. Big picture, I think if you'd asked a year and a half ago, has Laird been a good AD? You'd get a very mixed answer. Asked a year and a half ago, you'd get a very mixed answer. Because the one thing Laird was not was out there firing up the people.
Dynamic personality.
He's just not particularly visible, right? You know, he's just, he wasn't inaccessible, but he wasn't out there relating to rank and file particularly. I didn't get the sense. I think there is, to the extent that there is, people are lamenting that he's gone, it's because of what is in front of the program now, because of what has happened in the last year and a half. And
we didn't even mention NIL, portal. We just mentioned pandemic. Yeah.
NIL, like all of this stuff. It may be the single most tumultuous time that any athletic director has ever been in Memphis.
Yeah. I think it's probably likely.
I think it is. The pandemic happens, and the whole world of college football is turned upside down.
College athletics
is turned upside down. And he's got to negotiate all of that. And you'd have to say, listen, he didn't get the ultimate victory. Memphis is still in the American Athletic Conference, right? I don't blame him for that at all. But so he didn't get that. But beyond that, if you look at all the schools that are not in the Power Five or Power however many it is now, I think Memphis is as well situated as any of them.
Agreed.
And is in a much better place than it was. And that is to his credit, largely because of what has happened in the last year and a half.
Yes.
Largely because of the stadium project and because of this new NIL project. And so then you say, well, got to give him credit for that, right? You got to give him credit for that. Like, you do get to claim the W's on your record, and those are the W's on his record. As you point out, we have been talking the number of stadium projects, and a lot of them half-assed. At one point, they literally put stupid metal bleachers in there that they had to then tear out because they realized they were an obstructed view for the people behind them. They've been a lot of half-assed improvements to that stadium. I mean, the locker project was good, and Tiger Lane was good, and there's been incremental stuff. But actually solving the stadium...
Well, and also, I think those things are all city projects.
Yeah, they are. Solving the stadium deal and getting it actually on track and getting the FedEx money and steering through the political thicket, it was certainly not all layered, but he does get credit for that. Again, how much was the president? How much was their new PR team? How much was literally Fred deciding, you know what, I'm going to get behind Memphis football in a way that I haven't before. I honestly, like, if Fred hadn't decided that, we wouldn't be here.
Agreed.
Right? So do you give Laird credit for massaging that and, you know, for helping to solidify the relationship with Fred? Could anyone have done it? Was it simply, the
right place, right time.
Right place, sure. Right time. You don't know the answer to that. But in the end, he gets credit for the W. We have a stadium project, my God, that is on track. And part of it was, let's be honest, the Smith family stepped up with their gift to make the stadium possible, in part because the university pitched a fit, public fit, right?
Yeah.
That worked. You know, that worked.
Yeah, that was the strategy.
That was the, we are going to light a fire here, and we are going to create a commotion, and it absolutely worked for them. And they get the money, and here we are. The stadium project is underway, and then to follow it up with an unprecedented deal, certainly for a school of Memphis's stature, an unprecedented deal with FedEx for NIL... Those are big W's. Those are big, big W's that Laird has to get credit for.
Yeah, right? I mean, absolutely. Because, again, if we're talking about what is next for the University of Memphis in terms of getting into a conference, like, it does put you in a tier amongst your peers, as you mentioned, that no one else seems to have.
Yeah, like, I saw someone on social media in the wake of the NIL thing say, this is great. I think it was honestly a Tennessee fan. This is great. But I don't think this moves the needle in terms of getting them into a conference. We don't know. Like, SMU wasn't in until it was in, right? Like,
so they bought their way in.
You don't know what's going to get you in, but here's what you can do. And I know it's a cliche thing. You make yourself as attractive as possible. Not only attractive, compelling.
Yes.
You make yourself compelling. And Memphis is dramatically more compelling with a new stadium and with this NIL deal and with broad success across sports at the university, much more compelling than it was 2 years ago. And indeed, I think more compelling than any school that is outside the current power structure.
Yes.
So, no, we don't know if that will be enough.
And I think the other argument is it's the most compelling that Memphis has been probably since realignment has like really taken shape.
I think that's right. So, so credit to Laird for all of that. For him to go out the way he did, it's really, you know, it's drop mic a little bit, you know, it's here's my last, accomplishment. And now I'm sailing off to Missouri.
Yeah.
Some of those accomplishments may have helped persuade Missouri to hire him.
Absolutely.
The way that he has effectively managed what is this is not an easy city in which to be in, partly because everyone cares so much, partly because there's so many forces pulling at you. You're operating not just as a university. You've got the state money. You've got the civic stuff going on. You got Fred Jones over there and the Liberty Bowl over there. And there's a lot of different agendas. And so to have negotiated all of those as effectively as he has, I think you have to give him a terrific amount of credit for that. So then the second question is, how damaging is it that he is leaving? And I guess I would say this. Even though I think the answer to number one is he was very effective, particularly at the end, I don't think this is some, like, I got a lot of, oh no, this is awful. What a devastating blow. Now we finally have momentum and it's all going to be lost. I don't buy that. It is a tricky time and there is a lot for the next person to do. I don't think it's a devastating blow. Do you?
No, I'm with you. I don't think this is I hope this doesn't sound hypocritical or that I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I do think it's true that it's a difficult job, but I also don't think it's a job that, like, one of one can do.
No. And like, the president's still here. He's still invested in this stuff. Fred Smith's still here. He's still invested in this stuff. You can't have some bumbling, you know, moron be the next AD. That's very clear. And there is a lot of heavy lifting yet to be done. Like, you've got to figure out how to run that stadium.
You're going
to
own it.
What's interesting? You're going to own us. Yeah. And there has been a lot of, it's funny. Like, people have always said, well, why do you want to own this stadium? Everyone else has said, no, thank you. It's a white elephant. I don't want to own this stadium. Right. And so now all of a sudden, and by the way, I have certainly heard this. Remember this idea that FedEx wasn't going to give the money unless the University of Memphis got ownership of the stadium. Fred just wanted the money to benefit the University of Memphis. He didn't care who owned the stadium. The University of Memphis used this to leverage owning the stadium.
You can sell the boxes, the premiums. You get all, yeah.
University of Memphis wanted this. Laird and the university decided this was the best way forward. Now you've got to execute it. Execute something that a lot of people along the way had said, yeah, you don't want any part of that. Now you've got to execute it. You've got to execute the building project. You've got to execute the funding. You got to raise the rest of the money that you need. You've got to execute the building project. And then you've got to execute the whole idea here was you could use this to unlock more money, right? And whether you're selling the suites and the advertising and by having control of the stadium, sure, expenses are going to go up, but you know what else is going to go up? The income stream is going to go up. You got to go out and get that now. Like, that is a heavy lift for the next person. You're going to be running a stadium. Laird got the stadium, and then he said, here, you run it, you know? And so that is a heavy lift for the next person. The other one is, let's be honest, Penny.
Yeah.
Laird and Penny never even talked.
No.
Basically.
I mean,
they have very little relationship.
To quote the most famous person in the world, never say never.
Never say never. But then you've got this basketball program that is, I don't think is in some desperate shape. Attendance has leached away since the first days of the penny hire. And obviously this is a critical year. And things did not go well this year. And if in the end it collapses, and if in the end sometime in the next 2 years you have to make a coaching change, well, that's how R.C. Johnson came in. And R.C. Johnson had lots of failings, as it turns out. He had strengths, too. I don't want to. His biggest failing was he did not anticipate conference realignment, football, all of that. And,
yeah.
And could not. I don't know that, honestly, had he anticipated it, I don't know that he would have successfully been able to move the powers that be in Memphis, who were so invested in basketball, to believe in his vision anyway.
I think that's probably right. I think there was probably a pragmatic element.
I think there was a. I think that would have been extraordinarily difficult to come in here, basically when I came in here, and say, "Hey, Memphis, basketball is great, but we're going to be a football school because that's going to drive the train." I'm not sure anyone could have sold that. The way that people have historically cared about basketball more than football here, I don't know anyone could have sold that. But the other thing that RC was saddled with was, he comes in here, and a year later he has to fire Larry Finch.
Yeah,
that was a hell of a thing to be to have to handle and or mishandle. And again, I don't fault RC for the way he handled it the way some did. I think there was no good way to fire Larry Finch. And a lot of the way that he was, I thought they did it honestly as respectfully as they could have. But I know I'll get pushback on that, and people will mention the hot dog stand. The hot dog stand story is wildly overrated. They didn't negotiate anything at a hot dog stand or tell him he was fired at a hot dog stand or whatever else. It was true that they needed one final signature, which they got there. But that's it. Anyway. RC was given a thankless job, and it didn't go well for him. But and then football was a disaster, and missed on realignment, and so that's where we were with that. But the new person will have Penny, and Penny is an asset as an ambassador. Penny is an asset as a public figure. Penny is an asset as a citizen. Penny is not an asset as an AD.
Yeah. Because, I think it's more than fair.
Because he's too big.
Right.
And so...
Now, granted, I would say at most big-time programs, like...
They're too big. Right.
College athletics is just this weird reality of how many other professions in the world does the superior make, like, I don't know...
Right.
One-tenth at some places that the subordinate does?
I also, by the way, don't think it speaks so poorly of Memphis that he was here for 5 years. That's about right. You know, that's about right. It's not, I've heard some other lamentations about, it's too bad we're a stepping stone school. You know who else is a stepping stone school? Mississippi State or Ole Miss, like whatever, you know, the ADs move around all the time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you're some, you know, sister or something, stepson or whatever.
Texas A&M AD just went to Ohio State.
Right. So is Texas A&M a stepping stone? He did a good job for 5 years here. Now you find someone else who will do a good job. But I don't think it has to be devastating at all. I think if you get a good, competent administrator in here and you have a president who cares about athletics and you've got FedEx that cares about athletics, and your programs are in pretty good shape, really, overall, I think it's a pretty attractive job. I certainly know lots of people are interested in it.
Yeah,
I've heard from some of them.
I mean, certainly, are you going to hire, you know, sitting SEC AD?
No.
No, but you are, for all the reasons that we just laid out, you are at the top of the pecking order when it comes to the G5.
Exactly. And so then you go to, okay, well, who's next? And I'll be honest. I'm not going to sit here and pound the table for any candidate for the reasons that I just said. We don't know enough about all these guys. Some of them are assistant ADs. Who the heck knows, right?
Sure.
And then some of them ADs, like take Alan Green. Yep. Right? Alan Green is a name that you hear, was the AD at Auburn.
Yep.
Hired Brian Harsin.
Yep.
That's not good.
No.
The current president at the University of Memphis, of course, comes from Auburn.
Yes.
You connect the dots.
Yes.
Right? Exactly. So is the fact that he hired Harsin at Auburn, is that a disqualifier?
For me, it's not, because, like, yes, that is a blunder. It cost Alan his job at Auburn. Like, I'm not dismissing that was a mistake. For me, though, the key is, it's less about, I've got to get this football hire right, because also at Auburn, you want to talk about managing chaos in the back rooms. Like,
But he did not do it. He did not do it effectively.
Well, there was a civil war.
Right.
There was a power struggle between boosters, and he saw that moment, okay, I'm gonna go get a guy they thought was a good football coach. He was wrong. To me, it's not that instance itself is not a disqualifier. The bigger, larger question, though, I have is, like, what is the objective here? Like, what do we think the University of Memphis needs the most? Because there's usually a couple of ways that you can go in terms of ADs. You either go pure fundraiser, or oftentimes you go like administrator. Someone that, you know, Laird, I think, probably falls more, even though he comes from the fundraising background, it felt like more of an administrator. And so what do we think would...
I mean, I hate to say this, it's both.
I mean, yes, we are in a world.
You're going to have to raise money for a stadium and execute the stadium. It's. I don't know that you can.
I guess I've always been a little hesitant here of a pure fundraiser, because I think it's really hard to just, like, we've talked about it. When you think about the indoor practice facility, you know how long that took to actually get done. The fact that even with the stadium project, it's not largely getting done by donor money, or, you know, it's not like the school paid for its own. Like, they had to go get the state.
Well, let me ask you this, just to take two candidates, okay?
All right.
Are they fundraisers, or are they administrators? Adam Walker and Jeff Crane. Those are two. Jeff Crane is still here as an assistant AD, and Adam Walker was here and has now gone to Kansas State, where he is head of the Kansas State Alumni Association.
So I'm interested in Alan Walker because...
And Adam Walker.
Adam Walker, because... He is now basically a fundraiser at K-State. And K-State right now, in terms of NIL, whatnot, money, stadium projects, all that, they're kind of punching above their weight. And to me, that is something I'd be interested in. Because
I've always been impressed by Adam Walker, I'll be honest. I think he's an impressive guy. But that's only, again, it's only from the outside. There are a million other names.
The other thing is, if you want to go internal, I mean, typically what you do is, when you want to go internal, if you believe that you've got the culture right, if you think that you've got it in a good place, and you don't want to just disrupt everything.
Well, that's the thing. If you feel like, well, here's the other thing, with all due respect, who gets along with, who has a relationship with Fred?
No question.
Like, if, I'll tell you this.
And by proxy, the Smith family.
Yeah. If and FedEx and whatever else.
Absolutely.
If FedEx has been really impressed by Jeff Crane or Adam Walker, is anyone else who's on the who would have worked with them particularly, who is on this list?
I'm trying to remember.
Ryan Albert was here and was a fundraiser at Memphis for, he's a current Tennessee deputy AD. But anyway, if Adam Walker has a relationship with Fred and the Smith family, and they really think he's smart and capable and great, then he'll get the job.
Yeah.
Right? And the same thing's true of Jeff Crane.
He'll certainly have a very good chance.
Yeah. So because you want to, you want someone who can, let's be honest, keep going everything that is going, but
it's the most important relationship right now with the university.
Yeah. And, but you need someone who can that's the thing. Someone who can execute the fundraising that remains to be done and who can execute a building project.
Yeah, absolutely.
A massive building project. It is not at all to me an easy task. A lot has been accomplished. A lot yet remains to be accomplished. And so we will.
Alan Green was also at Ole Miss before he was at Buffalo and Auburn. And Ole Miss used to have a pretty good relationship with FedEx. Like, I don't know if that still.
Well, Mike Glenn was a big Ole Miss guy, and he was obviously, and so yes, if maybe it's very possible that he is. That
Ryan Alpert, the guy, the Arkansas State quarterback.
I don't think he was an Arkansas State quarterback. I remember him when he was here. It's possible. I didn't know that. Mark Allnut is.
I was gonna say what's the Buffalo reputation? Because Mark was a pretty popular guy when he was here, right?
Yeah, sure. Mark was a reasonably popular guy when he was here. Yeah, I'd say. Tim Duncan's another one.
Yeah,
with obviously Memphis ties.
Great name.
And a hell of a basketball player. Really, hell of a basketball player. Anyway, that was the big news yesterday. There was other big news yesterday, including Memphis Tiger basketball news, including Ja Morant news. And then there were two wild, absolutely wild basketball games last night. And we will talk about all of that when we return. Before that, I will tell you, if you are selling your house, call Josh Hysaw. And this is a fine time to be selling your house because school years are wrapping up. People are going to be making decisions. They're going to be making decisions about what school district to move to, what school district to move away from. People are going to be moving in from out of town. Now is the time, perfect time to put your house on the market. And Josh Hysaw is the person to go to. 901-461-8147. 901-461-8147. I met with Josh, and I was absolutely, absolutely blown away. I didn't know him. I didn't know him at all. And I'd heard other people talking about him. And then you meet with him, and it's just incredibly, incredibly impressive. No upfront cost, flexible fees, lets you out your contract at any time. It is Josh Hysaw. 901-461-8147 or joshhasthebuyers.com. Got to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, The Players, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, The Team, Bears, Pats, Titans, Saints, Unsportsmanlike, Jeff Calkins, Jason and John, Giannato and Jeffrey, The Gabe Kuhn Show, The 2024 NFL Draft First Round Full Coverage, and Live Picks on Thursday night, April 25th, beginning at 6 p.m., right after The Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's NFL Station.
I lock up my Old Spice Fiji Aluminum Free Dry Spray to keep that 24/7 lasting freshness safe for myself. Fresh coconuts, palm trees in the wind. It's like catching waves in Fiji. Actually, I just talked myself into a refreshing spritz of Fiji. My Old Spice is missing! No!
As a roofer, spring means the start of my busy season. which means I've got to get organized. With help from Beacon, I can save time with Beacon Pro Plus and 24/7 access to live pricing, delivery tracking, order history, and more. Plus, this spring, I can earn $1,000 and the chance to win a $25,000 backyard renovation just by buying my CertainTeed shingles online with Beacon. No purchase necessary. Now that's what I call a spring cleanup. Visit BECN.com for official rules and to start earning entries.
It's time to get charging in your new Charger from Gossett Chrysler G Dodge Ram Fiat on the Pike during our Dodge Power Shot Days, and it's your last call to charge forward and pay less. New 2023 Dodge Charger SXT. We Gossett at $27,599. $27,599 or $419 a month. That's $10,000 off MSRP. Plus 2023 Dodge Charger Scat Pack now $7,000 off MSRP or $659 a month. And get to Gossett during Ram Truck Month. 2024 Ram 2500 Tradesman Crew Cab, $6,000 off MSRP. Plus 0% for 72 months on select models. So drive past the rest and come to the best. Gossett Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat on the Pike. Online, GossettMotorCars.net.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motorcars.
All 75 months at 8.99. Charger PH636167, MSRP 37715. Scat PH612877, MSRP 55110. Ram RG193472, MSRP 65925. Includes all rebates and incentives. PF 695. Excludes tax, title, and license. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through end of the month with approved credit, dealer stock only.
Whoa, Howie, that's a lot of diamonds. What's going on?
The biggest natural loose diamond event we've had in the history of Robert Irwin Jewelers.
Any shape, any size?
Yes, natural loose diamonds for any budget. Plus, get a free men's wedding band with every natural loose diamond purchase. 0% interest for up to 5 years. See a store for complete details.
It's the biggest natural loose diamond and bridal event this weekend at the Perkins Extended location across from Laurelwood.
Robert Irwin Jewelers, home of the meant-to-be guarantee, upgrades are welcome.
Gear up with up to $100 off select handguns during the Smith & Wesson event at Academy Sports and Outdoors. From April 18th to April 28th, get range ready at a store near you. Or find your next favorite firearm online with free ship to store. Hurry, this event ends soon.
Direct Auto Insurance is for uncompromisers. With a super low down payment, you can stop compromising and keep driving. Get a free quote at directauto.com.
Down payments vary, does not mean savings. How you buy can affect price. National General Group, Winston-Salem.
Your window into affordable luxury is Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis.
At Pella, we offer quality replacement windows at any budget.
I can't believe the price of my new windows. They were so affordable.
If I knew I could afford windows and doors as gorgeous as these, I would have chosen Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis years ago.
Right now, save 25% on your entire project or get 50% off installation.
The highest quality, the greatest value.
Choose Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis, your window into affordable luxury.
Let me tell you about my friends, Carl and Karen.
This place is sus. Let's go to Tunica.
And so they did. And immediately, they became winners.
Hey, baby, what you doing?
Winning. Hey, baby, what you doing?
Winning.
And not just gaming either. They did spa.
Winning.
Dancing.
Winning.
It's a touchdown.
Winning.
Or enjoying a world-renowned meal.
Winning.
No matter what you're doing in Tunica, you're always a winner.
Learn more at tunicatravel.com.
Before the puck drops, BetMGM is dropping bet and get tokens into the accounts of customers in Tennessee. Simply add a wager on the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs to your bet slip and activate your token. You'll instantly receive a bonus bet no matter how your wager goes. From big hits to overtime goals, BetMGM is here for every playoff moment on the ice. While the teams chase the cup, you can take advantage of daily promos, same game parlays, live bets, and so much more with your BetMGM app in Tennessee. Claim your bet and get token today to earn a bonus bet regardless of whether your NHL Stanley Cup playoffs wager finds the back of the net or not. Get to the center of the playoff hockey action with BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for details. 21 plus only, Tennessee only. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
I'm Bob Burke, founder and chairman of Burke America Parts Group, a family of brands that includes RepairClinic.com, an appliance and HVAC parts solution company that's grown into an international brand. Before AmericanEagle.com, we partially launched a new technology platform developed by another firm. American Eagle helped take our technology to a whole new level with digital marketing, software development, and business insights into our key markets, appliances, HVAC, and outdoor power equipment, and did so both on time and on budget. AmericanEagle.com has the resources, experience, and talent needed to produce solutions. Our new technology platform developed by AmericanEagle.com has produced tremendous results with higher traffic, conversion, engagement, and online revenue. If you have any home repairs you need to take care of, check us out at RepairClinic.com. If you need a world-class website or technology project, then I would highly recommend AmericanEagle.com.
Call AmericanEagle.com at 773-NETWORK. That's AmericanEagle.com, 773-NETWORK.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All on the free Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff Calkins Show. Over on Twitter, Jeffrey, someone's telling us that we're giving Laird too much credit. I don't know how you can't. Listen, I will not tell. It's why I don't think Laird is dispensable, and it's not some blow that he's leaving. The truth of the matter is we don't know how much Laird was responsible for all of this last year and a half of success, right?
No.
But in the end, you got to chalk them up. Those go as W's under in his win column.
Well, I think it's kind of also like it kind of works for you and against you. It's like one reason why he might be an attractive candidate in the world of college athletics is he's really not a self-promoter. Like,
right.
Like, look at all these things I've done. But if he were, I honestly think he would, if he would take credit for everything, like I think probably with the fan base, it'd make you more popular.
Anyway, okay, moving on.
All right.
We did have other news yesterday. Tiger basketball.
It was an active day.
Active day for Tiger basketball. Do you think they're going to... Penny's going to go with like a four-point guard lineup?
I mean...
I asked that sarcastically.
No, I know.
I asked that sarcastically.
It feels like, and maybe we should learn from experience because I feel like this has probably happened before. It feels like we go from... Man, I don't know about this team do they got too many players again?
Well, it's not, they do not have too many players. Do they have too
many
players,
same players
at the same position? The news yesterday, the higher rated player, the more highly thought of player nationally is Tyrese Hunter from Texas. Started for Texas at point guard. Last year, 11.1 points a game, 4.1 assists a game, 2.9 rebounds a game. Started all 33 games. Team went to the tournament. If you look at 247 in the portal, he's ranked number 12. He'd been at Texas for a year, I think. Had been at Iowa State for 2 years before that. He's got 1 year left. So there you go, right?
Yep.
Now you put him next to P.J. Haggerty, right?
Yeah.
And there's your, I don't know. I don't know if it's a, you know, they're, P.J. Haggerty can play on and off the ball, right?
Yeah, I don't love the idea of Haggerty being my point guard.
Right. So if Tyrese Hunter's your point guard, that's fine, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But then, in addition, you've already added Colby Rogers, who is a guard.
Yep.
Right? And now you've got Baraka Okoji, who was the point guard from George Mason. Memphis evidently beat out... Partha Padhyay has a nice story where he talked to him. Nice story up at the Daily Memphian, including quotes from him and his family, and he is he's Canadian. He is unranked in the portal, but he's an athlete. Started 10 of their 32 games, but honestly moved into the starting lineup at the end of the season. And it's sort of a developmental project. It feels a little bit like he's got 3 years remaining.
I believe he's
good
also
athlete.
Young. I think
he's young. Yeah, he reclassified. Yeah. He reclassified. The only question is whether a developmental project will be given a chance to develop, right?
Correct.
Look at whatever. What, you know, whether it's Carl Sharenfant or Jonathan Pierre or, you know, whoever it is, do they come and do they...
Well, I think there's also like the larger question, like not even making this Memphis-centric. I understand when people say I want guys with multiple years of eligibility, and I fundamentally, like, I agree with that thought. But let's be real, you're recruiting your roster every year no matter what.
Right. But if that player can see progress,
sure,
can see themselves developing and has success and flourishes, you're more likely to get the next year. If they play 3 minutes one game, no minutes the next game, 22 minutes the next game, 6 minutes the next game, and then they're more likely to find it frustrating and leave.
Yeah.
So there you go. This roster is, what's amazing is, so they've added P.J. Haggerty, Dane Danger, Colby Rogers, Tyrese Hunter, and Baraka Okoji, okay? That's who they've added. Jordan still feels like he's coming back, probably, right?
Yeah.
David Jones, we don't know. Jared Harris is a freshman that they've added. They still have five more scholarships.
Well, I mean, what? We turned over how much of the roster?
Everything. Pretty much. Pretty much everything.
We turned over two Hardaways.
So now, let's be clear, they need bigs. They got Dane Danger.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about the bigs. I think we're going to get a Musa coming home video.
Musa coming home. You don't think they're going to get Jaden Quaintance out of...
Oh, I'm not ruling out that they don't get all, you know,
yeah,
all of them, but I mean,
that's the big fish. Jaden Quaintance is the Kentucky commit who is now, took a visit to Louisville, and...
I will say, though, I get whiffs of businessman.
Is that good news?
No. I think usually you bring Memphis in to kind of jack up the price.
Yeah. It feels like most likely that it'll go to Arkansas. Like,
yeah,
he's a Kentucky guy. It feels like most likely that he will go to Arkansas. But listen, he's not done. And I've been saying all along, I think Memphis is going to the tournament next year. Why do I say that? Because I have faith in Penny Hardaway's ability to recruit. And so I think they will get bigs and wings. And then it'll be
probably too many of all of them.
Maybe too many of all of them. It feels like they're full up now at point guard anyway. The news from Ja was interesting. This is, of course, in the civil trial, where he was accused of and did in fact punch a young high school player.
Yeah, that was not denied.
That was not denied. But the news was the trial was postponed, and Leslie Ballin and Rebecca Adelman filed a motion to withdraw as counsel for the plaintiff. That's never a good sign.
No, but I mean, to me, like, I understood when you made the point legally, when people were going, oh, it's over. Right. Like, legally, that was not what was ruled, and right, I acknowledge that. For all intents and purposes, that was over.
Well, we'll see what happens. He would have now, if he was going to proceed, he'd have to find new attorneys. And it feels like Ja can go ahead and pretty much declare victory on this one. And to be clear, I thought it was BS from the start.
Yep, no, it was a shakedown.
It was a shakedown. We have agreed on that from the beginning. And so there you go on that one. And then we got the basketball games last night. I mean, on top of everything else last night, we got the basketball games. And let me ask you this.
All right.
Are the Sixers and Lakers both cooked?
So if you go and you look at it, when you fall down, I think it's when you fall down 2-0.
Which is your more impressive collapse? Let's put it that way. So the Sixers up 5 with 40 seconds left, and then I'm sure you've seen the sequence, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I mean, I watched it live.
Holy smokes. You just like... gobsmacked as it unfolds, or Lakers up 20 with 10 minutes left. Which is the more impressive collapse?
I mean, I honestly thought the more impressive collapse was the Lakers. Like, in the end, the Sixers game was a back and forth in the second half, particularly. It's a back and forth game. And yes, the Sixers hit, Maxey hits a huge three to put them up two possessions. Kyle Lowry misses one of two free throws that felt significant.
Felt like you were watching a Tiger basketball game right there, didn't it?
Correct.
Bit, you know, like
then,
when he missed the one or two.
You know, they get DiVincenzo to miss, but they can't get the rebound. Like, to me, like, that was more.
Well, first you got the Brunson, who, by the way, had a second straight, and I thought Dan Devine was right on this, is that you've got to give the Sixers and Nick Nurse, who's taken a beating on other fronts, some considerable credit for what they're doing to Jalen Brunson. But he hits the three-pointer that looks like it's not going to go in.
And then
I'll
go in.
What the heck? Let's go in.
Why not?
Let's make this more interesting.
Well, that was weird because the crowd didn't know how to react at first. They're like,
So that happens. And then you've got the inbound situation to Maxey, and you've got the Sixers enraged that they didn't get a timeout there. This is all shades of Memphis Tiger basketball,
only thing we were missing was no fouling with up three.
And so different situation, but did not get a timeout. When have we heard this before? I was trying to call a timeout. But it's also Penny a year ago, right? So trying to call timeout or wanting to get timeout, University of Memphis wanting to get timeout a year ago with Kendrick. But anyway, so they don't get their timeout. You get the turnover. DiVincenzo misses the first one.
Yep.
Hartenstein gets the rebound. Back out to DiVincenzo. Bang.
Yes. I mean, to me, the reason why I think the Lakers collapse was a bigger collapse is that is a series of unfortunate events, but that is stuff that happens in a basketball game. You know what I mean? Like,
it is one little sequence of, oh my God, can you believe all these things happened? But it is not, it wasn't a choke.
No, it was too quick to be a choke.
It was too quick to be a choke.
Right.
You thought you had it comfortably in hand. I'm not sure the Lakers won. I'm going to give Dan Devine a lot of credit. If you listen to his segment on Monday, what he talked about with the Lakers and Denver was when Denver wants to execute its offense, that feels like they can score every damn time down the court, and the Lakers get bogged down. And that's exactly what happened in the last 10 minutes. Denver was 7-for-7 on their last.
I think it was 10 out of their last 11 possessions they scored total.
And 7-for-7. Like, they could do whatever they wanted. Now, some of it, I think you can look back at AD AD got his fourth, and LeBron was complaining about this, of course, but AD gets his fourth foul with 2:41 left in the third.
LeBron put on a masterclass
in post game. And at that point, they take AD out, and then later on, they don't have him on Jokic, and they have Rui on Jokic, and that becomes a problem, you know. But what you had is one team that is executing its offense over and over and over again, and one team that absolutely bogs down, and LeBron misses the three. It could have gone in, And then you have, I don't know, I think you're right. I think that is the up 20 with 10 minutes left is the bigger collapse, particularly in the context of 10 straight losses to Denver. And
they're largely the same script. Last night was the dramatic. But the other thing for me is it's not just you blow the 20-point lead. Oftentimes when we see a 20-point lead blown, it's, all right, a team gets hot from three. It wasn't that.
No, it wasn't that.
I mean, I think the other thing that really stands out in the series, and it's not really surprising at this point, like, LeBron's still great. The best player is on the other team.
The best player in the world is on the other team. The best player in the world is on the other team.
It's like they tried, you know, Davis couldn't really do anything, couldn't stop him. And, you know, at first it felt like in the first half they're like, all right, well, we want him to be, you know, we want him to facilitate, and then it's like late game they just decided, like, we want it to be one-on-one, him and Anthony Davis, and it's like,
it's not a coincidence that they are, the last six playoff games, it's 6-0, right? It's Denver 6, Lakers 0, playoff games, and the average point difference in those six playoff games is 6 points. They're not beating them by double digits. They're not blowing them out. They're just better at executing in the end.
The Lakers have led for 70% of the series. I mean,
so they're cooked. They're going home, but whatever, they're cooked. They're cooked mostly because just Denver's just better. So okay. So then, in terms of the Sixers, Joel Embiid afterwards says they're going to come back and win the series.
I actually liked what he said post game.
I didn't mind it at all. I've seen some criticism of it. I didn't mind it at all.
Like, he also
he had his head down when he was saying it. He didn't feel filled with belief when he said it.
No, but at the same time, like, I can. That is a heartbreaking. Like, I do have some humanity.
Well, and you've got two games basically where in game one they win the minutes when Embiid is on the court and they lose the game. Let's be honest, because Embiid gets hurt,
correct,
has to leave,
and they couldn't get a rebound, and they
lose the minutes when he's not on the floor. But they could very well have won game one, and they should have won game two.
Yeah.
And so here you are now. Grizzlies have done it. Grizzlies have come back from two down. The problem is, even though Embiid, so he plays 39 minutes, 34-10. Maxey, by the way, who was ill, obviously that crushing turnover at the end, 44 minutes, 35 points. So you're getting heroic performances out of them. But Embiid just doesn't look right. Even though as good as he is, if I thought I could get a totally healthy, vigorous Embiid for the rest of the series, I don't rule it out. I don't rule out them coming back to win this series. But
to me, the other key difference is, like, I do not think the Knicks are that good.
Like, no.
To me, like, the difference is the Lakers have to go do this against the defending champion, who still looks awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's be honest. When Embiid says, we have the better team, we're going to come back and win, if you wish to, you can believe it.
Right. You can talk yourself into
it. If LeBron had said the same thing, you'd laugh.
Right. Like, it's
they don't have a better team.
And
it's not close. And it's been proven over 10 straight games.
And to me, it's like the larger issue is if this series, let's say Philly can go win two, there is the element with the Knicks of, man, Josh Hart played, 48 minutes last night? Brunson, like, you can wear him down, maybe.
Because we have a busy second hour, we got Chris Harrington in the next segment, and then we've got Fish on Friday on Tuesday after that. I did want to at least touch on it. It would be criminal if we didn't have a little NFL news in here. Zach Wilson dealt yesterday to Denver. Do you think that is there any chance that Zach Wilson's career could be reclaimed? And do you think that is a sign that Denver is not going to draft a quarterback in the first round?
Do I think Zach Wilson's career can be reclaimed? Yes. Would I bet on it? No. Like, do I think that
we've seen a bunch of it lately.
And I think it's going to be...
Of course, Baker was good before he was bad, correct, before he became good again.
Geno was
never good before he came pretty
correct
good, right?
But, like, to me, the other deal with Baker is, how you like me now? You know what I mean? Like, and also, he played with the shoulder that last season.
Yeah, Baker's different than Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson has never had success in the league.
Correct. I do also think, though, Zach Wilson went into, I think, a bad spot for a young quarterback. I know I'm in the minority here, but I think history's going to prove me right. I think Robert Saleh is a defensive coordinator, not a head coach. And when you basically say, run, third and 12,
they were killing him.
Now, I do also wonder, is Sean Payton's now, like, new life mission just trolling Nathaniel Hackett?
Right.
Like, you know what
you're
I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
right. I'm going to take him,
and I'm going to show you
what he can do with an actual offensive coordinator.
Correct.
Okay. So how about question number two? Does it take him out of the market for a first-round quarterback?
I still don't think so, right? This just feels like an insurance policy. Now, maybe does this mean...
I think maybe not a first-round quarterback.
I think maybe it takes you out of the first round, but I also think, I don't think it precludes you from, like, they're not going to take someone.
I think they could take someone, but they don't have a second. So what, you're going to take Spencer Rattler?
No, I don't really hate that.
You could do that in the third or fourth.
I wonder if he likes Pratt. I don't think he likes Pratt, though, because Pratt's not accurate. The other,
you know who likes Pratt? Kuiper.
Pratt. Draft guys love him.
Yeah.
Toolsy. Again, watch Michael Pratt play. Like, he's not all that good. The other theory is now the Broncos would trade back, try to get a second.
Right.
There's that.
And if it doesn't, right. If they get their quarterback, they get their quarterback.
We're starting to really cook.
All right, we got Chris Harrington next, then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. I will remind you that this Thursday through Saturday at the Robert Irwin Jewelers Diamond Showroom on Perkins Extended across from Novel Bookstore, that's the one that I go to, having a massive loose diamond event. All shapes, all sizes, all cuts, all clarity, all budget. This is a great time to buy a diamond engagement ring. Hundreds of choices, all shapes, styles. And here's the kicker. 0% interest for 60 months or 20% off during this event. Howie is passionate about diamonds. And this week, Thursday through Saturday, at the showroom right across from Novel Bookstore Sellers on Perkins Extended, they will have diamonds, more diamonds than you can possibly imagine. By the way, upgrades are welcome. So if you want to upgrade your original diamond to something bigger and brighter, you could do that. Or maybe diamond stud earrings. Bring in your old earrings, trade them in, get a bigger and brighter pair. It is a loose diamond event at Robert Irwin Jewelers. For complete details, go to rijewelers.com. Chris Harrington, when we return, Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
I mean, I listen to 92.9 every day. I'm like a huge Jason and John fan. Love the Grizzlies, Tigers.
Always free. Always on your radio.
That's my favorite station, bro.
92.9 FM, ESPN.
I listen all day to 92.9 on the radio.
Life is fast and furious. Sometimes you need a boost. The Shotners can help with lipo B12 injections, increase energy, improve mood and sleep. It even helps with allergies. Or boost your immune system with our Tri-Immune Booster.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.